This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on this rainy Tuesday? It's The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us inside the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We're proudly presented by Derek Daniels State Farm right here off McFarland Boulevard. Call him today at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page. You're checking us out on Twitter, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts, The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We appreciate everybody who's doing that today. We're here with Mason Woods, and we are here 95 days away from Alabama kickoff. So we're going to have a lot of fun today with Mason Woods. Please go follow him at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. I want to hear about his weekend at the lake a little bit, but we want to get into a lot of things. Dax left us a voicemail on linebackers that I skipped like three times last week, so I'm getting that today. He left us a great voicemail on Theo Fernandez's topic. Theo actually brought a topic yesterday, Mason. He threw at us.
He's showing me up.
He threw at us Caden Proctor or Caleb Downs, who's getting drafted first this coming year. And so we had a little fun with that.
Actually, that's kind of a tough one to answer, you know.
Think about that. We'll keep rolling here. He threw us that. We got Dax on the voicemail line with that. Yesterday, we also talked about greatest Alabama football drives just for a minute. So I do want to bring your perspective in there. What we'll do today is hit the 95s just real quick, and then we will go back to greatest drives just so Mason can kind of get his perspective in right there. But I want to really spend a lot of time with Greg Sankey. Greg Sankey was angry yesterday. It's SEC spring meeting down in Destin. We'll be covering it on BamaCentral.com. You can read all about it. We'll be aggregating Alabama Crimson Tide on SI right there, all the newsworthy items that come out of Destin. But Greg Sankey did spend some time at the podium yesterday, and he seemed angry. We'll talk about it, if he's justified, if he's not. And then towards the end, we will be joined by Bubba Cagle, Mr. 1985 from New Era Wrestling. We saw him in the ring with the Alpha Alexander Lincoln at the last show that I attended. His match, his championship match, was interrupted by the Masked Man. Lincoln told us last week that the Masked Man has yet to be revealed.
He's a coward.
Yes. You're only wearing masks right now if you're sick or a coward.
Show your face.
Exactly. I mean, look, we all know who... There's no such thing as hiding your identities anymore, not in 2025.
Yeah, we just got to get on the case so we can figure out who it is.
Absolutely. We'll figure this out with Bubba Cagle. Mr. 1985 is going to join us. New Era Wrestling anniversary show coming up June 7th. All right, so with that set up, Mason Woods, how was the lake? Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being back.
It was good. You know, I got to see some friends of mine. Weather did not hold up as much as we had liked it, much as we would have liked it to. You know, I got a lot of rain one of the days we were there, and then overall, the sun didn't really come out a ton, but it was fine, you know. It's always good to see my friends. It's kind of like the one time a year that we all get together now. You know, I've been friends with them since I was a kid, since we were all kids. So it's good to see them. You know, we play video games and things. We don't really get to see each other in person except for once, maybe twice a year. So it was nice. You know, got to be a little bit unplugged this weekend. It was big SEC baseball tournament, so I knew that was my neck of the woods. The recruiting things were going to be a little light this weekend. Boston College ended up getting a commitment. Me and Kim had to kind of coordinate on getting that figured out.
But, go Eagles! Yeah,
big shout out to Kim because she is always on top of everything.
She's amazing.
Sorted out. So,
and she went. She flew to Boston. Did she fly or drive? She flew to Boston this weekend to watch one of her favorite bands do a double show. I think she saw them in one venue in Boston, turned around the next day and saw them in another venue in Boston.
Pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. So, you know. Good shout out to Kim. Got that figured out. I believe Graham ended up getting it covered for us over on the Boston College site. But as far as Alabama, I didn't see a ton happen this weekend. See, you know,
this coming weekend.
Yes, this coming weekend is going to be the big weekend. So, you know, we'll hopefully have some commitments coming down the pipeline. We'll just kind of have to see what happens this weekend. A bunch of guys going to be on campus.
Are you just going to spend all Thursday out by the Malmore facility just seeing who you can say, hey, guy?
Yeah, we'll just go down there and I'll just film. I'll just set up a camera and we'll just live stream, you know, everybody as they walk by.
This is five-star Billy Smith. That's five-star Charlie Hustle.
Yeah. There's going to be some good players. I think it's over a dozen players are going to be in town. I want to say Booby Feaster is, I think, probably the most notable name on the list of those, but some good names.
So we had a lot of fun yesterday. Let's wrap some loose ends with Mason's perspective before we jump into Greg Sankey and then Dax's voicemail on linebackers. We settled all three of us, Dax, because Dax DM'd Theo, what's your topic, so that he could chime in on this. Loved it. Love that. Great. Caleb Downs, probably a better player than Caden Proctor. Caden Proctor, a more positional value. Yep. Who's getting drafted first?
I think I'm probably going to go with Caden Proctor. I think the NFL, I think what a cornerstone franchise left tackle can do, you know, for a franchise might be a little bit more valuable than what a really good safety could do for a franchise. You know, I think you're maybe, you know, if Caden Proctor turns out to be, you know, as valuable as a top three, top four, top five pick is, you know, then he's your left tackle for the next 15 seasons. Probably like Caleb Downs, if you hit on Caleb Downs as a top five pick, like what are you getting? You know, 7-8 years out of a safety as their prime, and then the fall off kind of starts from there. I think I think you're probably just getting a little bit more value just because of the position at Caden Proctor. So I'd probably have to go there, but I do agree that I think if we're just talking purely like football player, Caleb Downs is probably the best football player in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, we had comments yesterday on my personal YouTube page saying that we gave too much credit to Caleb Downs and saying that we were basically he was, and fine, it's their perspective. Sure. He said, "Oh, you must not have watched him last year. He got burned several times," and basically saying that we were too high on Caleb Downs.
I think Downs is a guy that after his freshman season in Alabama probably would have been a top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, and I think that there was a little bit of freelancing at Ohio State just last year. Let me feel it out. Sure. Let me feel it out, and I'll take my chances.
I think they probably just gave him free reign out there a lot of the time because, one, they paid him so much money to be there, and, two, they know what he is.
So let's keep going here. Yesterday we had a really in-depth – well, I thought it was – I mean, it was in depth because we went through all five drives. We'll say that. We went through the 09 Auburn drive, 12 LSU, 14 LSU. We went through 18 SEC championship game and the 21 Iron Bowl as the five drives that are the best five drives in Alabama football history. We solicited and did not receive any older perspectives, and that's okay. Sure. If you are older than 36 and you've been watching Alabama football for a lot longer than I have, I would love to know a drive prior to the Nick Saban era that you would put in contention with these five. With all that out of the way, Theo settled on the Iron Bowl, the 21 Iron Bowl, 97 yard Bryce Young. I think I settled on the 14 LSU drive just because there's no business that Blake Sims had no business doing that.
Sure.
So with that being said, man, and you can go away from those five if you want to. If you've got another nomination, Mason, we texted this over the weekend, so I think you're ready for it.
It jumped into my head immediately when you texted me, and in doing a little bit of further looking, I realized this was maybe not as monumental of a whole drive as I remembered it in my head, but in the 2009 SEC championship, Greg McElroy on that third down scrambling and doing the, you know, 2-3 hops right before he goes out of bounds. I think it was only like in the second quarter, but Alabama ended up scoring and putting them up by, I think, two scores at that point in the game. And then they never really looked back from there. So, I mean, sure, important in the, you know, span of the game, but probably not really comparative or comparable to the rest of those on the list. But that play is stuck in my memory. That was like one of the most impressive things I still have ever seen.
Elite balance, Greg. Well done.
I mean, it was a sweet play. I got to go with the 18 SEC championship for the storyline, you know, Tua, obviously you have Jalen's previous year starter, Tua unseats him, Tua goes down, Jalen comes in, and the story all year has been, well, Tua beat Jalen because Jalen sucks, Jalen can't throw, Jalen can't be a college quarterback. And Jalen Hurts comes in and lights the world on fire. I mean, looks great, looks poised, is throwing darts, and puts Alabama in a position to win. It wins the game for Alabama. You even get Nick Saban tearing up a little bit on the sideline after, you know, I still like think about that. It still almost brings a tear to my eye thinking about that game. It was so special. So it was just so great for Jalen Hurts to really like say, hey, look, world, I'm not a terrible quarterback. I don't suck. Look at what I can do. And then he went on to Oklahoma the next year and tore it up, almost won a Heisman. That's got to be my number one, I think. If we're going as purely off of just like impressive skill wise, probably the 97-yard drive of Bryce Young, because I mean, you literal back against the wall. But storyline, I got to go with Jalen Hurts.
I'm a sucker for a good story.
Oh, me too.
Theo reminded us yesterday in the 14 LSU game, Alabama ended up with the ball in like a 3 in a tie game with like, what, 2 minutes left? TJ Oden fumbles to put them further behind the 8-ball, and LSU got that field goal to go up to 10-13, and it was like, oh, no. So great memories yesterday with that topic. I think that 18 SEC championship game is hard to top for me.
If I had to pick one that was just very like satisfying, that wasn't necessarily you know, impressive or like monumental, just the opening drive against Notre Dame, I'm pretty sure in the title game, where Alabama just ran Eddie Lacy right down their throat, straight into the end zone with zero, like, no question about it. Like, didn't even, it was just, all right, yeah, we're going to do this 4 or 5 yards of play, right down the field, touchdown. And it was, you knew as soon as that happened, it was like, oh, wow, this is going to get ugly. And it did.
Oh, Mason Woods, this is a perfect place to pivot. I won our dynasty's NCAA championship this weekend.
Hey.
My first one in the group.
That's sweet.
The best player in our group. He is the best. He's better than me by far. This is probably the second or third time ever that I've beaten him, the single player.
What's the team?
I'm LSU. Go Tigers. He has moved his Georgia Southern Eagles into the SEC and just still continued to wreck all of us.
Like sugar, honey, iced tea through a tin horn.
Right, exactly. But you're talking about the plays and all running straight down the field. Usually when I'm playing, I'm just like 2 or 3 plays. I'm just like, these are what works for me.
Yeah.
This guy makes me, I after the game, I was like, you have to have a million plays to play against him. So that was
got it done.
Got it done.
I got my fantasy football trophy this weekend. It was much larger than I anticipated. It's Melissa was not stoked that it's going to be very prominent in the house now.
Melissa, we're champions.
She didn't understand, you know,
all the hard work, the research, the stressing over the TV,
the amount of time I sat staring at my phone.
Whew, come on, one more point. Give it to Derrick Henry one more time.
Yeah. Felt good.
Congratulations, champion Mason Woods. I'm delaying the start of our next season because, trying to soak
it. Write it out a little longer.
Exactly. All right, so let's pivot into new topics for the day. Before that, we're going to tell you about Warren Tire and Auto. Warren Tire and Auto, we haven't read a live and read in a minute. They've been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in the third generation of family ownership, and they have been such. They're on University Boulevard and on 15th Street. They're your go-to place for all your automotive needs. For tires, brakes, and alignment, reach out to them on 15th Street. Call them at 205-759-5505. For all your other automotive needs, you can see them on the University Boulevard location at 205-758-2739. I know my man Matt Stahl went over there last week for some auto work, and I know Melissa's been over there for some auto work as well. I believe we got 2 satisfied customers on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, so we appreciate Warren Tire and Auto for sponsoring the program, and you should go see them for all your automotive needs. All right, Mason, let's choose. You want to go? Let's start with the easy money. 95 days until Alabama football. 95 days until kickoff against Florida State. 12.5-point favorites. He's still feeling good, laying the money on 12.5.
I'm feeling good.
I am too. Let's go with it. 95 days. The only player. Yesterday, we talked about Tim Keenan for a couple of minutes with Theo Fernandez.
Sure.
Slim pickings on the Alabama roster right now, but we must acknowledge local player Anderson Green, punter from Northridge High School, comes over from Northridge. He's in the specialist room. So if you see 95 this year, on the team. I mean, you're not going. It's more than likely not going to.
Sure.
As you look to replace James Burnett, but he's got to. I mean, he's going to make. He's going to swing his leg a few times.
Open.
Yeah, swing his leg a few times and shoot. Let me pull for the local player.
Heck yeah, good on him.
This brings us to who we're choosing, though, for to represent us for 95. Sorry, Anderson, I'm not going to be my pick until you at least punt one punt in a real game. You want to go first or I'll go first?
You can go ahead.
All right. I'm going I'm going Brendan Dedrick, and this is just because – this is personal to me because he was on the team the year that I worked for the football team. And so, look, defensive lineman, seventh-round draft pick, right there out of Fort Lee, Virginia. Ended up playing several years in the NFL, Patriots, Jaguars, Saints, Texans, Buffalo Bills, BCS national champion in 2010, that 09 season that Mason just highlighted, that SEC championship, and the Iron Bowl that we highlighted yesterday.
What a year.
So I'm going with Brandon Dedrick, defensive lineman. Freshman in 2006, ends up, what's your final stat line for Alabama? Do I see that somewhere? Oh, Josh, yes. That's why I remember this so much. He got shot. He's one of the ones that got shot before. He's in the Raekwon Davis camp.
Yes.
He's in he gets shot in 09 before the year. Shot in the forearm during a robbery attempt he witnessed the week before the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. He wasn't seriously injured and was medically cleared to play. And then he ended up playing the whole year. Innocent bystander. Innocent bystander, straight bullet, and he just, oh, it's cool.
That's a tough son of a gun, man.
Absolutely. Brandon Dedrick, my pick for number 95.
You were not lying when you said it was pretty slim pickings for number 95, not only this year, but seemed like most years. Not a lot of people love the number 95, so in trying to find some, I got one example, one football player. My man Kurt Jarvis played for 1987. But that feels like a little bit of stolen valor to pick Kurt Jarvis. I didn't watch him play. I didn't know who Kurt Jarvis was before today.
You weren't alive in 87?
No, I was not, unfortunately. I do see that here, which this is killing me. What defensive lineman in 1987? What do you think qualified? 6'2", 266. My man had an interception, though, that I got. But no, I didn't feel like that was they didn't feel like it was really doing the game justice to pick someone I didn't really know about. So I scoured my brain, and I've settled on a choice. One Mr. Houston Mullett for the Crimson Tide basketball team. The one and only number 95 in program history. Will likely be the only number 5 that ever exists in program history, because I don't see anyone else ever taking up that number. I don't even remember now the point.
You spend 95% of the game without the ball in your
hand.
That's
what it was. Love it. Love it. I got to lock in Houston Mullett. Not a football player, but Alabama nonetheless.
Only 5% of the game with dribbling the basketball. You got to go set screens, you got to go get steals, you got to go defend, rebound.
That's the mentality we're looking for.
Blue collar, baby.
That's blue collar through and through.
Absolutely. I love it. Good pick. 95 for Houston Mullett. I'm taking Brandon Dedrick, and we are highlighting Anderson Green on the football team right now. All right, so now the real two topics. You want to go Dax with linebackers, or you want to go Greg Sankey?
Oh, let's start with the linebackers. I feel like Greg Sankey's gonna, you know, be a good one to end on.
And we've overlooked this.
I do feel bad for Dax.
I'm so sorry.
I wanted to talk about it. It's just, we've had so many things come up. Last week was busy.
205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to be like our friend Dax and leave us a voicemail, you can leave us a voicemail on this Greg Sankey stuff. You can leave us a voicemail for tomorrow. Who do you pick for 94? 94, what's your pick? You got a nice pick.
You got a good number. You got good choices there.
I think Edric Hill might be a breakout player. So, maybe. That's okay. We'll talk about him tomorrow. So you can leave us a voicemail on 94. You can leave us a voicemail on something else or Greg Sankey's thoughts. This is Dax on the linebackers.
What is up, guys? It is Dax again. So I went over the wide receivers, went over the running backs. I thought I'd switch it up and go defense today. So we're going to talk about the linebackers. So middle linebacker, Deontay Lawson. That boy is going to be getting so many dang snaps. Like, from what I've seen so far through his career, the man is just good at everything, especially in coverage. I love Deontay Lawson. He's my boy. Then we've also got Mr. Justin Jefferson and Nakai Hill-Green. I think they're similar players. I think Nakai is a little better in pass coverage than Justin is. But I think those two are definitely going to be sharing the number two role. Let's see.
All right, let's pause right there because I love you, Dax, but I'm just going to disagree with you. And look, thank you for the call. I think those will flip just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think Nakai Hill-Green is going to be a thumper.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. I think, you know, body type, he's a little bit of a shorter, kind of more stout guy. I didn't watch him at Colorado last season. I've seen the highlights now, obviously, since he's come to Alabama, but it looks like that was kind of the role he took on last season, was more of a run stopper. I mean, he's not like incompetent in coverage by any means, but I think he's more suited as being a run stopper, run up and hit somebody kind of guy.
I guess then we've got our outside linebackers, and we're looking at, let's see, Quay Rousseau, that boy. I can't wait for Quay Rousseau to start going off. Oh, man. That boy's going to be even better than it was last year. He's going to be so nice. I'm looking over here at Justin Hill. I don't know much about Justin. Atutoa Henry, know nothing about him. Kelby Collins, the transfer. Also don't know much about him, but he's a Gardendale man. We like him, about 30 minutes down the road. And Jamarian Latham. Is he still on the team?
Yes, still on the team.
Well.
And forever.
We're going to see what happens with these linebackers next year. I don't have much to say about the linebackers. I'm going to be honest with you. So if y'all could help me out on this one, that'd be nice. But like, from what I'm seeing, we just have a bunch of returning production, especially with Deontay Lawson and Justin Jefferson. Like, those two are going to be the anchors to our linebacker core. I promise you that one. All right. Well, that was my very poorly attempted run over of the linebackers. Hope y'all have a good one. Roll Tide.
That's Dax on the voicemail line. I think that's good setup. Good setup for these linebackers to talk about. Go ahead, and I'll throw some questions.
I think returning production, you might be lacking on. Returning talent, certainly. You're bringing back a lot of guys who you know are talented, but, you know, Jahad Campbell was such a big piece of this defense last year. That is a massive chunk that you have to replace from the production from last year. You can do it. Obviously, I think these guys are very talented, and I think Dax did a good job highlighting just how deep this room is. There's so many guys, I think, that can play many of these roles. But the ones here, your Quay Rousseau and Deontay Lawson's, I think those two guys are going to be dogs. Quite excited about what the two of them can do this year.
Yeah, I'm in love with the way the number four plays football.
He plays like his head is on fire.
Yes, and he's got violent hands. Mm-hmm. When you get edge rushers, sometimes you get guys who, this guy can set an edge and play the run, this guy can't and just is a pass rusher. I think Quay Rousseau is a violent son of a gun on the football field that has a good enough body type to where he can do it all as an edge rusher, as your wolf. He is, you know, I bet you get Kane Womack in a moment of honesty and tell him to build a wolf. I think it looks just like Quay Rousseau. I'm excited about these linebackers. I'm excited about them. Man. I'm concerned about Deontay Lawson's health, but that's just because your boy Joe has had 4 or 5 knee surgeries himself. So there's a biased perspective there. But I think Deontay Lawson's got a lot better care than I did. Not that I had bad care. I had good care. But he's got even better care. And he's an elite athlete where
they treat those world-class athletes a little bit different than us normal folks.
So I think he'll probably be on a better path.
Sure.
Little concern from my bias perspective.
I think it's valid. I mean, I think I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. Like, I am perfectly comfortable with Deontay Lawson as a starter. You know, okay. He's going to be great. I am worried about just like what's after him though. Like, I don't think he's going to get hurt, but just if he does, that's, you know, like the guys they have back there, I don't feel great about that depth. Like him, though, if he's healthy and fine, everything is A-okay, he's going to be great this year. But that is obviously a big if.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, oh, perfect. I didn't realize this other side had, you know, had, you know, this other side had exactly what I wanted.
We talked about him. He's not super versatile, kind of a one-dimensional kind of guy. Now, I guess, you know, you can kind of do the linebacker by committee thing if you want to rotate some guys in and out on pass coverage downs and things.
Yeah, Deontay, let's, if you're looking past Deontay Lawson, you're starting with Jefferson and Green. Yeah. I mean, I think you'd feel good if it was that pair right there. But then past this, I think you've got interesting prospects in Abdul Sanders, in QB Reese, and in Caden Jones. Those are the three kind of younger guys that I'm looking at that can find their way onto the field, or, you know, oh, Alabama's up by 30. These guys are getting in. I think QB Reese, Tim Keenan was really, really complimentary of him. And then Abdul Sanders was just making lots of plays during spring as an early enrollee. And Caden Jones in his second year in the program, I think, is very, very athletic. Those three guys are your next three. But, you know, if they get thrust into action because of bad circumstances, it's a question mark for sure. It just is. Abdul Sanders making an interception at the A-Day game.
I mean, almost a better place to go is, like, who do you think are the kind of the odd man out in this room?
As far as?
You know, just the ones that are going to be the, not necessarily young guys that are committing, you know, the second, third year players that are kind of going to be on the outside looking into this linebacker room. I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at Fatua Toa Henry. I don't think Yonzi Pierre is, maybe.
I think Yonzi might be starting to get squeezed out just a little.
Maybe. I mean,
Fatua Henry is going to be interesting because as the JUCO transfer, I think he's going to end up playing more Bandit than Wolf. Same with Kelby Collins. This 8A roster is listed right here by position. Kelby Collins, I don't really see playing Wolf. I think he's going to be more Bandit, just like Keon Keeley. Keon Keeley. But just like Jamarion Latham, I mean, Jamarion Latham did Bandit and Wolf last year and will continue to do that. So I think Kelby Collins has got a little of that, but it's going to be much more Bandit than Wolf. To me, you're looking at the Wolves and it's Quay Rousseau.
Yeah.
I love Deonzi Pierre's physicality, but I wonder if he's getting it upstairs in between the years.
Sure. And I mean, there is a reason, or there's something that has kept him off the field. You know, it wasn't is overly impactful last season.
I'm looking at Noah Carter. Is he going to find himself a role? I know he came in from Arizona as a former Washington commit. You got a lot of question marks in this room. A lot of hype. I mean, you look at the starters and you say, oh, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
4, 10, 0, and then 20 for Jamarion Latham playing Bandit. So I'm pretty – well, shoot, LT Overton.
You get LT Overton, too, yeah.
Embarrassment of riches.
You do have you have the opportunity this season to do the thing like we've talked about where it's just every two or three plays you've got basically a new crop, a whole new defense out there. The offense has no idea what to do because they don't even know who's on the field on a given down.
Woof. 95 days away. What's the – Castellanos, Thomas Castellanos. You think he's a – freaking out about this Alabama defense yet?
Ooh-wee.
Or do you think he and Gus Malzahn, you think he and Gus Malzahn are sitting in the meeting room like, we're about to have something for these
They're
boys.
Sitting in that meeting room and Gus has only shown him Oklahoma and Vanderbilt highlights. And that's it. Even Vanderbilt, they didn't even really kill him that bad with the QB, right? There were some.
A little, but not
Oklahoma,
much.
Oklahoma, really. They've just watched Oklahoma highlights. So he's just only, he has nothing in his brain but the idea that I will dominate them.
Who was the young, Nick Marshall? Yeah. If Gus Malzahn can game plan for Nick Marshall, you got to be serious. You got to take Castellano seriously.
You do have to take him seriously. That obviously, but also just because of your track record now with this. I mean, it's only 1 year, but track record's not great against quarterback run with this new defensive system. So I think he was facing off a quarterback where you know basically that's his only strength. You certainly have to be on the lookout. And that's something you got to really be hammering in.
Scary, scary, scary. 95 days away from kickoff. We appreciate Dax with the voicemail. 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can leave us a voicemail. You may be more interested in this topic. Greg Sankey, SEC spring meetings yesterday, was as stone cold as I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Zero he's, emotion, really. Just no. I mean, he's usually a little bit animated. You know, he's got a little, he's cracking a smile a little bit. None of that.
Yeah, he's always been about the business, but you're right. There's always been a little bit of a, this is sports to him. Yesterday, the only thing that I could see in this clip, I'm about to play it for you, is steam coming off his head as he's trying to control himself. I think he was really trying to control himself with this answer, talking about the good of the game, talking about expanding the playoff and the SEC standing and basically his interest. This is one clip, about 3 minutes, from Greg Sankey's time at the podium yesterday at SEC spring meetings.
So to get back to the playoff. But it also, I think, gets to governance to a certain degree. Talking about your ADs have said we've given up too much. You're sort of, again, in a position of thinking about the greater good of college football. That was talked about a lot from other commissioners last week when there was some decision. Seating, how do you balance what is best for the SEC with what is best for maybe if we'd be giving up a little bit for the SEC would be better for the whole?
Look at a track record. We didn't need 12. Did we stay at 4, we would have had half the 4 last year. I don't need lectures from others about good of the game. I don't lecture others about good of the game. And coordinating press releases about good of the game. You know, you can issue your press statement, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward. I'll go back and say, I thought the 12-team design was really well considered at the time. We never had a unanimous vote to support the 12-team playoff. Even though I was involved in that work, that didn't mean everybody in this league, when we were at 14, thought it was the best idea. But you engage in that type of problem solving. Our 8 or 9 game schedule that goes back to really 2018. We've been talking about eliminating divisions from 2018 forward, and we expanded. So it became a different conversation, and the shape of that conversation has changed over time. We have to make a decision. The CFP and my colleagues have to understand there's something different here. We all play college football. And so while you ask that of me, I'll go back and say, we didn't need a 12-team college football playoff. I thought it was good for the game. I was involved in that. Others held it up. I thought it was important to get after that work in a time-efficient manner, yet we held up, and then we went fast. We didn't go slow so we could go fast. We didn't do anything, and then we went fast without solving some of the other elements. I think I have a responsibility to push as well. And I think my membership has a responsibility and the desire to push me. And that is a hard issue. If you want to go inside what it's like to sit in this role, I think about the responsibility I have here. And I think about the responsibility more broadly all the time. Yesterday I said that we don't apologize here. I'm proud we have 13 games. I wish it was 14. Baseball. I'm proud of what we did at men's basketball. I'm proud that we have, I think it's 5 of 8. Is it 5 of 8 in softball?
Is it 5 of 8?
I actually think that can make other people better too. And when I go back to the college football playoff, I'm open to ideas. There's just not a lot of incoming. My phone's not ringing off the hook with, hey, here's another way to look at it. And so we'll continue to be thoughtful. We'll continue to try to provide perspective and information to our members and help them guide the decision. And ultimately, I recognize I'm the one who ends up typically in front of the podium explaining not just myself, but ourselves. So good luck to me.
good luck to me. We don't apologize. I'm not getting many ideas. I don't need lectures on good of the game. I'm not lecturing others. You think he's tired of it?
Yeah, probably.
Ooh, Greg.
It feels like there's a lot of holier than thou attitude in the college football world from the other conferences where they want to, you know, disparage the Big Ten and the SEC for all they're trying to do is make it about yourself. That's all they're trying to do also. That's all the ACC is trying to do. That's all the Big 12 is trying to do. That's all the Pac-12 is still trying to do. Even though way out there in the top corner of the country, they're still trying to make it about themselves if they can in any way possible.
Is Oregon State still technically a Pac-12 member? Oregon State and Washington State? Is it just the only two?
Yeah, I think it's just them. Gosh.
You go all Google.
But like, it's just how it is. Those conferences are trying to do the exact same thing that every other conference is trying to do. It's just the Big Ten and the SEC have the power to back it up because they have dominated college football for the better part of the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah. In a couple of years, the conference is adding Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, and Utah State and Gonzaga. So great. Yeah, it's just those two.
Good on them. Did they play a championship game last year?
They play a series of three, home and home, and then they picked a neutral site. That's what I would be doing all that. We're the Pac-12 champs.
That would be awesome.
We're in the playoff.
But this is just it's what every other conference is trying to do. They just don't have the ability to ask for as much as the Big Ten and the SEC can because it looks ridiculous when they do because everyone and their mama knows they're not on the same level.
Well, Mason, I just don't understand what's going on right now. I do understand. We want to take it to 16 for more money. They want to take it to 16 for more representation. Yes, I understand that. I grasp that. But I don't understand why Katie's comments from last week just burn into my brain. If you don't like it, just wait. It's going to change. Why? What's wrong with leaving it at 12 for a decade? And seeing what happens, seeing how it plays out, moving into a 16, like they're going to move to 16 in 27. Mm-hmm. It's not announced, it's not official, but come on, you guys who are watching and listening to the show, you're smart enough to figure it out. The contract goes to 26. In 27, we're going to 16 games or 16 teams. And Greg Sankey is sitting here as the bad guy, but. I mean, ultimately, Greg Sankey is beholden to the 16 teams in his conference. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right. He's beholden. I don't lecture others on good of the game. Don't lecture me on good of the game. I think going from 4 to 12, Greg kind of was saying it without being so direct. He said, we did go from 4 to 12 for the good of the game.
Mm-hmm. So we already conceded. I'm not going to do it anymore.
My whole issue right now is the debate between baked in conferences. We get four bids. You get four. You're seeing proposals of 4-4, 2-2. Yeah, 4-4, 2-2. That's 4-8.
That's eight, and then the last four are. That's 12, and then the last four are at larges.
Yes, for the 16.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to fit it into it.
I was trying to fit it into
12. No, it fits into 16. Why? I understand if you just said, hey, five automatic qualifiers, Power Four conference champions, and you know, your
best group of five.
Yeah, exactly. It gets in, and then, okay, that's five. You need 11 more teams. Boom, all
at
eight.
Larges.
At larges. Mm-hmm. You might end up with eight SEC teams in it,
sure.
But tough titties. Like, that's the way it rotates around. Like, I mean, the sport is cyclical.
Yes.
What's been in my group chats in the last 2 years is, well, SEC hasn't won a title in 2 years. Y'all aren't really the top dogs anymore because of Michigan and Ohio State. And it's like, that's fine. Like, you're not hurting my feelings. Yeah. The sport cycles. You're going to have times where Oregon's and Penn State and, like, last year the Big Ten was good. It was real good. It's fine. I get it. It's all about fairness and inclusivity, and we got to make sure we have representation. Well, Colorado didn't get in. But at the end of the day, like, if this is a money-making, what makes more money, Mason? And I don't know. This is just a question. What makes more money, a better game or more representation?
I don't know. That's a pretty good question, honestly. You know? Because, I mean, you better game, you probably get more after the, you know, post game discussion and more, oh, people still talking about your product that you put out there. But I mean, if it's, I understand it from the perspective of representation of like, let's get as many big brands in here as we can and make sure they're all represented well, because their fan bases are going to travel. They're going to buy the tickets. They're going to buy the merch. They're going to buy whatever. They're going to pay for cape, you know, whatever. I kind of see it from both sides, I guess. I do think that's that's not necessarily a black and white answer, you know?
So Greg Sankey is, I think, stone cold. I think he is trying to do the best thing for the SEC, duh. Yeah. But I think he also is trying to do the best thing politically for the sport, because the only leadership in the sport is the SEC and Big Ten. And Greg Sankey, to me, is the most forward-facing commissioner.
Yeah.
He's an easy punching bag.
Need him to back off these automatic qualifiers.
Right. I agree. But he's doing it for the Ole Misses. He's doing it for the South Carolinas.
Well,
because Alabama's, you know, Alabama, let's be honest, I'll just make everybody upset, didn't deserve to get in last year.
I saw this tweet right before we started recording from Mike Golick Jr., and of course now it's not loading, but it was something to the effect of, I'm not sure that 9-4 Alabama is the team that we need to launch 1,000 chips for.
Yes.
And I think he's exactly right. One of many of the people in the replies are, well, it's not for that team, it's for teams in the future, or whatever. I'm sure it might be, but I do think that Alabama specifically missing out has a lot to do with it. I don't think Greg Sankey's pounding the table for South Carolina.
Mm. Big brand Alabama, you can't leave us out.
I think that's part of it.
I don't hate it, just from that's our perspective here.
Yeah.
All right, so what else are they going to talk about spring meetings? We're about to move into Mr. 1985, Bubba Kegel, New Era Wrestling. Let's wrap up this, and we'll come back to it, because there's going to be a lot more news today. There's going to be a ton of news today from Destin. Spring meetings, we're going to talk about 8-9-game schedule. We're going to continue to freaking vote on this, talk about this, get people to please.
12-game conference schedule. Make it happen.
Yeah, that would be even better. But there's about 13 schools that don't have the stones to do that. Maybe 12 schools that don't have the stones to do that. Yeah. Let's just make it 9. Just make it 9 and get rid of the...
Just get rid of any wiggle room to badmouth the SEC about, oh, they don't play enough. We all play the same now, buddy. I've never understood why they want to, you know, toe the line so hard on the 8-9. Like, just make it 9 games.
Oh, I'll tell you. You know exactly why. Well, bowl games. Yeah. It's the bowl games and the bonuses. It's Mississippi State can go to a bowl game if they win 3-4 conference games.
Are they really making more money at the, you know, Gasparilla Bowl than they would if they have an extra SEC home game on their schedule?
No, they're not, but it's the reputation. We're a bowl team. Yeah. We made a bowl.
Sure.
We made a bowl because we beat Ball State, Chattanooga, Mercer, Buffalo, and then we ended up beating 2 SEC schools. We beat
Kentucky and, you know, whoever. Yeah.
Forget about it, bro. We need to move to 9 games, and because the Nick Saban track has been true. The bowl games, as cool as the Birmingham Bowl is,
don't need it.
Yeah.
It's far too easy to make a bowl game. I've said this right. I think you should have to win at least 8 games to be a bowl team.
All right, so we're going to go 8 or 9 games. Debate will rage on. I think that's the biggest thing that they're going to talk about down there.
Probably. They're going to be in the NIL talk.
Oh, what can they do? Of course, they're going to talk. They're probably going to talk about this settlement, how the settlement's going, how it's working out. There'll be a lot of news at SEC spring meetings, so we will follow that to the rest of the day and really the next 2 days as they continue down in Destin. Oh, man, it's pouring outside.
Yeah, it is coming down.
It's pouring outside, so it's wet out there. If you are on the roads, be safe. Be careful. You need to make sure you have good, proper insurance. Derek Daniel can take care of you for your auto insurance. Call them today, 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs, home, life, or auto insurance. You can get you a quick quote on your car insurance, get you better coverage. I know he posted the other day, he saved a family like $150 a month. Save yourself some money, get yourself better coverage. Call Derek Daniel at 205-758-3391. What we're about to do is hit my Warren Tire ad. Then we're going to bring in Bubba Kegel, Mr. 1985. He was involved in the match with the Alpha Alexander Lincoln that was interrupted by the masked man last week. Lincoln told us the masked man didn't show up until everything was done and dusted, and then tried to, you know, pile on Lincoln. So we still don't know who the masked man is. We're going to get an update on that. We're going to highlight anniversary June 7th right there for New Era Wrestling in just a moment, right after we tell you about our friends at Warren Tire and Auto.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Perfect. Welcome back in. This is Joe Gaither's show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com, live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. And we are going to pivot a little professional wrestling right here in the state of Alabama. New Era Wrestling. We're highlighting Anniversary 7, June 7th on Swan Gym in Jasper, Alabama. It's about an hour away, right up the road, 7:30. You got a couple matches already. I see it already announced on the card. And then we will device is not connected. Did I bring him? Oh, that's all right. Can I not get him in? They will need to reconnect their mic before you can add them into the stream. All right, so I am he's in our back end. Let's see. I think you're having trouble with your microphone, sir, or your camera. Basically, why don't you back out of the studio and retry that link that I sent you? I'll copy it and repost it into our little thread. How about that? Copy it and repost. You know, we do this stuff on the fly. It's all good. No problem.
This is the mask assailant at work again.
Oh yes, he's hijacking Bubba Kegel's.
He's unplugging wires and things. He's outside Bubba's house with his pair of scissors, just cutting wires.
So let's be high, because it was his championship match. Do we think that there's any chance that this masked man could be working for Bubba Kegel? That this is all a setup? That this is a setup against, you know, the powers that be? Maybe I'm going to attack both of them, throw you off the scent, and then a couple of weeks later, you know, he interrupts the championship match that's already announced, the Alpha Alexander Lincoln. He's going to be taking on Dawson Kimbrell, Dawson the Dynasty Kimbrell on June 7th. Then we're going to have the Modern Day Kings taking on DNR for the New Era Tag Team Championships. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Swan Gym right there in Jasper, Alabama, Anniversary 7. While we are waiting on him to reconnect, there he is. Okay, I see him in the bottom. All right, perfect. Okay, yeah, perfect. Let's get that guy out. Let's get that in. No, how can I remove that? Yeah. Awesome. All right, how about that? Can you hear us? Mr. 1985, you got me, sir. No, he jumped out. He was in and he jumped out. We saw his beautiful face and he jumped out. All right, Mason Woods. Ton of wrestling over the weekend. Here we go. How about that? 1, 2, 3. Mr. Bubba Kegel, I see you right there. Beautiful face. How are we feeling? Can you hear us?
Might be muted.
Yes. Why don't I? Can't unmute your guest. Their mic is not connected, is what it says. Whoop. You got a microphone on your computer that's muting you, or on your laptop, or maybe your headphones, something like that. It's okay. As he keeps working that out, I've got the little icon right there. Mason Woods, we had a huge wrestling weekend. What did you have? You had Stand and Deliver. Battleground for NXT. Obafemi, Alabama alum.
Yes. I saw a clip. I did not really watch much wrestling, but man, I saw a clip of him manhandling someone, doing bad things in the ring. That man is a dangerous, dangerous man out there.
We can connect the dots here a little bit and make this Alabama athletics related. Obafemi, former SEC champion shot putter for the Crimson Tide. I don't have his real name memorized, but his stage name is Obafemi, and he is an absolute monster for NXT. All over the weekend, he and Miles Bourne, who is a semi-deaf wrestler, who kind of emulates a young Randy Orton in a lot of ways, they went at it. They had a great 15 or so minute match where they were just throwing everything at the kitchen sink. My hypothesis is that Triple H is like, we cannot bring Obafemi up to the main roster because he's going to kill everyone.
That would not shock me. I don't think that anybody would buy him losing a match up there. He'd be like, we either have to instantly give him a path straight to a title, or we can't bring him up at all because no one's going to buy him losing. He is too big. He's too powerful. He's too strong. I'm with that 1,000%. You mentioned the semi-deaf wrestler. That's like, that sounds like something where a lot of people would not quite realize how much more preparation like that would for. There's so much communication that happens in ring, you know, that the audience is not necessarily privy to, but if you watch the broadcast, you see them mouthing to each other and you kind of hear it picked up every now and then. He is not able to hear a lot of that. I cannot imagine how much more difficult that makes that job and how much more preparation you have to do beforehand of like, all right, just so I know what's going to happen here and you can't tell me in ring. That sounds like a nightmare almost.
He communicates fairly well on the microphone, but you can tell there's a little impediment and he's like, oh, I'm a little partially
combined
dead.
With the crowd noise too. Like, oh, that's probably not easy.
He says he earned the title shot on Sunday at Battleground by winning a kind of a battle royale a couple weeks ago, 6-8 weeks ago on NXT. And he says, when I threw the last guy out, and sure, some of this is just lines for TV. When I threw the last guy out, I actually heard the crowd. I felt the crowd. I could hear you guys. It was so loud, even though I was partially deaf. And so it was a really fun NXT Battleground on Sunday. I watched Saturday night's main event on Saturday. Obviously, Saturday night's main event on Saturday. And Saturday night's main event was okay-ish. You getting a message or something?
No, I was trying to remember. I did see another clip of Sol Ruka doing her finisher.
Oh, again, my gosh. The Soul Snatcher.
That's like the coolest move I've ever seen ever. I saw someone say, and I kind of agree with them, where it's like it's very difficult to buy as an actual move because there was a setup required for it. It's a lot of like, all right, let me get up here and... But it just looks so cool. It looks so insanely cool.
When she hits it smoothly, where she's just jumping off a bottom rope, and it's kind of, that is a great
man. Move. That was cool.
She's
NXT putting out a good product.
Yeah, they are. I mean, that's all the younger. Yeah, that's all the college athletes that they tap from. Sure. Oh, you're not going to be a professional. We'll train you. You know, Tiffany Stratton is out of that as well. The Performance Center. She's Minnesota Gymnastics, maybe. So
they tried to get what's his name, the wrestler guy, right? And he didn't. The one that was Iowa, maybe Gable.
Oh gosh, no, he was terrible.
What was his name? Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. The
Gable Stevenson.
Yeah, that's it. He was not very well liked in the WWE. I don't believe
he was awful and not a good person either. I think he has some skeletons in the closet. Oh, I see him back in here. Let's try it again, Mr. Bubba Kegel, 1985. Can you see? Oh, your microphone looks like it's on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic.
Yes. Sorry about that, man.
That's okay. That's all right. Technology. The demon. We thought the mass man is messing with your cables. The mass man's messing with your internet, trying to keep you off the show so you cannot reveal your theories on the mass man. How are you today, Mr. Bubba Kegel? Mr. 1985 of New Era Wrestling joins us right here on the Joe Gaither Show.
Doing great, man. Doing great. It's probably something more to do with being stuck in the 80s. I don't know.
He's still on those on that dial-up internet.
Yeah.
Mason, do you remember dial-up internet?
A little bit. My grandma had it. You know, my grandparents had it, the old AOL. You know, had that horrifying sound. Never understood why I had to make that noise, but I got a little taste of it.
You can't be on the phone while grandma's on the computer.
That's right. Kids don't understand these days, do they?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Bubba. We really appreciate it. We're excited to talk some New Era Wrestling with you. We want to make sure everybody goes out there June 7th to Swan Gym to check out Anniversary 7. Look, we had the Alpha Alexander Lincoln on last week, but we don't care about that. We want to know what you're doing at an Anniversary show. Who is Bubba Cagle putting the beat down next Saturday?
Well, this is the perfect time to make a challenge. If you wasn't aware last time, I beat Brandon Watley, Serpent Assassin Brandon Watley, and he attacked me from behind afterwards and took off my weight belt, and he strapped me across the back several times. So right here on the Joe Gaither Show, I'd like to challenge Brandon Watley to a strap match June 7th.
Strap matches. We both have a strap trying to hit each other, or you tied together at the wrist. Tell us about this stipulation, sir.
I want it tied to a wrist because I want to give him the beating like it gave me.
Oh man, we better get in there, Jasper, Alabama Swan Gym for a strap match. We don't. Yeah. I know we talked about the Alpha and his New Era Championship match, but give me some real venom right there between Bubba Cagle. Oh my goodness! I cannot. And Brandon Watley. All right. So, what's the deal with Brandon? Why has he got a problem with you?
Man, Brandon Watley is one of them guys. It seems like he's just mad at the world. I mean, I don't know if he likes himself, much less anybody else. I mean, he's always out. No matter what, he's mad. He's hating. It boils down to, I think it's a little bit of jealousy, to be honest.
We can't have any jealousy. Jealousy is a nasty trait.
No room for it.
Yeah.
But tell us about your wrestling style. What you plan to do on June 7th to Brandon Watley?
Well, being Mr. 1985, that probably gives everybody a little bit of a hint. I'm more of an old school wrestler, like a lot of the old school holds and maneuvers. But come June 7th, it ain't going to be much about wrestling. You know, it's going to be more about fighting. It's going to be more about strapping and slapping and getting a little revenge. I ain't looking for no lockup, you know, collar and elbow lockup or none of that. I ain't looking for no headlock takeovers or arm drags. It's fists and belts.
Me and Joe have had the opportunity a couple times to watch you wrestle. We've been to some shows. And, you know, it seems like maybe the inspiration is a little bit of Macho Man, a little bit Randy Savage. I just want to ask, was he one of your favorites growing up? Is that one of your main inspirations, or was there anybody else that you're really inspired by?
He definitely one of my favorites. You know, originally it was a tribute to my dad. I mean, he's an 80s guy, full-fledged. So originally started doing some of it, you know, as a tribute to him. But definitely Macho Man is a big influence, man. I love Macho Man. Funny story, one of my shirts with my little character on it, my brother was out in Arizona, and somebody asked him, "Hey, is that Macho Man on your shirt?" And he's like, "No, it's my brother, but you don't know how happy he would be for you to think that that was the Macho Man." So definitely, you got to love the Macho Man, man. He's a legend.
You're Mr. 1985. I just want to ask you if you can give me a little sign-off on being an 80s person as well. I was born in 89. Do I still get the 80s baby? I know it's right on the edge.
Yeah, I think so, man. I think so. You can claim me for sure.
Absolutely. Excellent. Yeah. We're talking to Mr. 1985, Bubba Cagle from New Era Wrestling. You can go see him take on Brandon Watley in a strap match on June 7th, Anniversary 7, Swan Gym, 7:30. Tell everybody where they can get some tickets. I know there's going to be some tickets on Eventbrite, and we're going to have a little promo code right here. We did a horrible job the last time. We were doing a much better job this time promoting this promo code.
It's definitely Eventbrite. A link. You can go to our Facebook, New Era Wrestling - Alabama, and it has that link on there. We can share it with y'all as well. And we do have the promo code. Just you want me to?
Yeah, feel free. I'm writing it down.
So Joe G25.
25. I wrote that down this time.
That's 25% off any tickets. And that's from the VIP, first row, second row, bleachers, bring your own cheer, any of that. So
it's a really easy drive from Tuscaloosa from where we are. It's a really centralized location, Swan Gym, right there in Jasper, Alabama. I can't wait to get up there. Wow. I want you to put us back in the ring from about a month ago. You are in the middle of a championship match. You're about to take the title from Lincoln. I know whatever Lincoln said last week. That's okay. You're about to take the title from him, and y'all both get attacked by this masked man. What's your theories? Lincoln told us last week he still hadn't figured it out. What's your theory on this masked man who robbed you of your title win?
Still not quite sure, but it seems like every time that I got a title match, either the champion don't show up or a situation like this, you know, I'm in there wrestling somebody, Lincoln, who's been a phenomenal champion. I trained him, so it was something, not sentimental, but extra importance to me. Most important to try to win that belt, and then somebody to come in, hide their face, interrupt that, and they stole that from the fans to see who was the best between me and Lincoln. I can't quite put my finger on it. You know, there was a tease of Dawson Kimbrell being involved with the music. Never really thought, knowing Dawson, never really truly thought that he would be involved with that. But he did show up at the last show and challenged Lincoln, you know, for the title on the 7th. But he came out and he helped Lincoln with a masked man as well before he made the challenge. Shook his hand like a man. And challenged him there. So honestly, I don't think Kimbrell has something to do with it. So that narrows it down. I don't think Watley's been just focused on me. So that I think it may be somebody we ain't seen, you know, or maybe we ain't seen in a long time. I'm not sure. Always those ghosts from the past.
A brand new era wrestler trying to make his mark, or an old new era wrestler trying to reach himself, get into the title picture. Okay, all right. While you were working on your audio, while the ghosts were in your internet, we were asking. We're still getting to know you. We were asking, is there any chance that he could be working for you? And even though you're one of the victims of the attack, maybe a setup, is there any chance he's is he in your pocket somehow?
No, there ain't no chance of that. That's a good theory though. That would be, that'd be smart for a man who wanted to take that route, you know, and wanted to go that route, but I'm more or less, I'm coming to Lincoln's face wanting that belt. You know, and I feel like I had him beat. I had a chance to beat him right there at the end. So, I definitely need somebody coming in and messing that up.
Yeah, we were enjoying a great match there about a month and a half ago, and boom, music hits, and Mason and I, new to new era wrestling, who is this guy? And he robbed us of a great finish. I'm upset at that.
Yeah, I hate to give the fans a finish like that, man. It's just
that's okay. That's part of it when you play bad actors.
Yeah.
We're talking
to deserve a winner.
We're talking to Mr. 1985, Bubba Cagle. He is going to be taking on Brandon Watley in a strap match June 7th. Have you ever had a strap match before?
Yes, once before. Yes, I can't. I'm trying to think who it was against. It's been a while. It's been a while since we had one in New Era. I can't remember the last one we had in New Era. You know, and that's just that's an old school style match too. You know, I'm not sure how Watley's going to feel about it.
Is there any bit of extra preparation that goes into a strap match?
Man, I think I prepare the same way each time. Yeah. Like, I'm somebody, I ride on that adrenaline. I love the feeling. I love the butterflies. I love the feeling I get before I go through that curtain. I love the pressure of it. So I always get that. I always have that same butterflies, that same feeling. So definitely going to be ready, but probably that adrenaline is going to be amped up a little bit.
Tell us about your match day routine. How do you get yourself into the zone to get that adrenaline flowing?
Just try to warm up, you know, do some exercise. I ain't a big stretcher. I like to stretch as much as I like to do some warm up exercises to warm up the muscles. That's big with me. Usually on day of, a lot of days, I do some training as well, get in the ring, help some guys out, learn some stuff, and go through some moves and just make sure I got everything down myself as well.
We're talking about new era wrestling anniversary show, June 7th, Swan Gym at 7:30. You can use Eventbrite and you can type in Joe G25 for 25% off. I've got three matches already listed right here. The Alpha Alexander Lincoln's taking on Dawson, the Dynasty Kimbrough for the open weight championship. You've got the Modern Day Kings versus DNR for the New Era Tag Team Championships. And now just announced a strap match between Bubba Cagle, Mr. 1985, and Brandon Watley. It's going to be a loaded card in Swan Gym, 7:30, June 7th. Oh boy. Well, how, what goes into building a card? I mean, you've got three great matches already. How, what is the structure of making sure that we're going to have a great, I mean, the show looks great. What's the psychology in putting together a great card?
You definitely want to put matches out there that people want to see. Definitely that. You know, we got a great base of talent, so that makes it a lot easier. And anytime you can give fresh matchups, different styles, different types of matches, that's always a big thing. I mean, just like the strap match, people love to see the strap match. They love to see the cage match. They love to see the table, ladders, and chairs. They love it, and that's usually some of our biggest. Biggest crowds is when we have those matches right there, you know, and you like to have some showcase matches with some guys that maybe hadn't been there or they're young and get a chance to, you know, show what they got and see if the fans want to get behind them and see if there's somebody to bring back. We got several guys like that now. We're going to see an influx of younger talent coming in this next year. We got some guys that's ready to make that step. You know, that's something I take a lot of pride in as well, is training. Lincoln, probably my star student there. He's transitioned to helping me do some training as well. We got some guys we just think that's gonna be very good coming up in the future. So that's always the balance there, putting the car together as well. But we got a few more matches to announce coming up in the next week or so. So just keep a lookout for that.
Be looking at for New Era Wrestling on Facebook. You can find them on Twitter. You can find them all over social media, the social media machines. I'm retweeting them on my own machines as well. Why don't you highlight some of that young talent? I want to ask you about your current tag team champions, the Modern Day Kings. They have been electric every time I've seen them so far. What's your scouting report on the Modern Day Kings as they go into a tag team title match against DNR?
It's hard to beat Ace Haven and Cameron Keast, two of the best. They've held the tag. Ace has been New Era Open champion multiple times. They both have been New Era tag team champions multiple times. Actually, Cam and Lincoln, Lincoln won his first belt, tag team belt with Cameron Keast as his partner. Ace has just been he's been a staple from the beginning of New Era. He's one of the best around people. He's one of the man that I think definitely could have made a lot of money doing this, but he's been real loyal to the Alabama scene and Pro South and now New Era. You just can't – them guys, you just never know what they're going to do, man. They just always amaze me, the things they can do in the ring.
And they have a lovely valet.
Yes, you got to love Amy Haven. She's a beautiful lady, a sweetheart. She knows wrestling. She understands wrestling. She's very helpful. I know myself when I've been out there with her and just checking on me, just give me a little encouragement, little things like that, a little pick me up. She stands behind her guys there, no doubt.
So we got three great matches on the card already for the anniversary show. Swan Gym, June 7th. You can see the Alpha Alexander Lincoln taking on Dawson the Dynasty Kimbrel for the Open Weight Championship. You can see the Modern Day Kings take on DNR for the New Era Tag Team titles. And then you can also see Bubba K go whoop Brandon Watley's tail in a strap match. Oh, man. Tell me about the people that are close to you. Are they concerned about the strap match? You got a wife, a girlfriend, close friends and partners. How are they feeling about your safety or, more importantly, what you're going to do to Brandon Watley?
You know, they was very upset with the marks he left on my back. They're always worried about me, and they don't want me to do this. They don't want me to do that. You know, they think I'm going to get hurt. You know, I guess it's good to have people that care about you, that love you. They know that I'm going to do what I want to do at the end of the day. And they know I'm not going to turn down a match, no matter what the stipulation is. They'll be nervous. My girlfriend, she'll probably won't even watch it. She'll probably go in the next room or something or the bathroom or something to avoid it. She can only handle so much. But you know, it's just part of it, man. My son, he just graduated, but when he was little, he'd cry, and both my boys, man, they loved it. But hey, they know dad's gonna do what he's got to do.
Mason, I'm thinking, as he says strap match, about Bianca Belair whooping the ladies with that, with the whip in her hair, the sound that it made in Elimination Chamber, the mark it left on Liv Morgan's basically midsection. And now you can see that live right there at New Era Wrestling, Jasper, Alabama. Bubba Kegel is going to be making, he doesn't have a, doesn't have the braid. He's going to have a, an actual strap making those marks on Brandon Watley's back. That sound, the snap is just, it elicits a visceral reaction in me.
Yeah, it's. I participated one time in a fans strap match where they were on a lumberjack strap match, and you got through the outside. Of course, everybody else was after after the other guy, but I had one guy. He really hated me, buddy. He loved to lay it in there, and I just go back and let him do it again and smile at him. But yeah, there's nothing. There's just something about when you get hit with something like that. It brings an intensity to you, adrenaline that, an anger, a rush to you that is hard to replicate.
Ooh, didn't Cody Rhodes have an AEW strap moment before he jumped over to WWE? He got a few times in the back.
I remember The Rock getting him pretty good.
Yeah, Rock got him pretty good too.
Mama Rhodes. Oh man,
yeah.
You're exactly right. So, do you have a special weight belt made for with Brandon Watley's name on it, with Brandon Watley's loved ones' names on it? Something to add. I mean, it's already going to be intense as all get out. But are you making a special weight belt for this offensive match?
I hadn't, but that's a good idea right there. I like that. Yeah, I like to. That might be something I can get done. Yeah.
We're talking to Mr. 1985, Bubba Kegel from New Era Wrestling. I'm just going to leave you the floor wide open to you to say whatever you want to say to either Brandon, to your fans, or to the New Era Wrestling crew. We'll leave you with the last word.
We're excited. We appreciate y'all letting us come on here. Any time to promote New Era Wrestling is something that we're very passionate about. You know, it's a big deal. 7 years just went by fast. We're excited about it. We're excited about the future, the young talent coming up, the talent we already have there. I think we feel like we have one of the best rosters we've had. And we just appreciate any support. Reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. Eventbrite, get those tickets. We'd love to have you up there. We're trying to get back to Tuscaloosa as soon as we can. Hopefully we can get that nailed down soon. So we love the fans of Tuscaloosa. We appreciate all them coming out when we was down there. We had a great, great crowd, a great environment. We look forward to hopefully doing that again as well.
Absolutely. He's Bubba Kegel, and he is going to whoop Brandon Watley's tail in a strap match June 7th in Swan Gym. Be there, 7:30. You can find tickets on Eventbrite. We'll be tweeting out the link as well. You can use promo code JOEG25 to get yourself in the building in a little bit. Look, that's a great discount, but the tickets are very affordable anyways. And the food is very affordable. You got action figures a little bit, so you can buy all the action figures there. It's a great, great time if you are into wrestling in any way. Bubba, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it, and we can't wait to see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mason. See y'all soon, man.
Absolutely. That's Bubba Kegel joining us from New Era Wrestling. Strap match, Mason. You ever been? Look, I've been whooped by my father a couple times. Deservedly. I'm not putting that on him. Bad child. Not fun.
No, I didn't enjoy getting the belt very much. I was never a fan of that. I don't think the strap match would be in my repertoire. Ooh, that sounds tough. Yeah, I've seen far too many, you know, like you mentioned, Bianca Belair. We may talk about Cody Rhodes getting hit by The Rock. Like, I've seen too many examples of it. I don't think I want anything to do with it. I'll be there to watch, though.
New Era Wrestling, June 7th. So three great matches on the card already. We will watch to see what else gets announced. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it on Twitter. We'll be tweeting out links as well. Eventbrite has the tickets. JOEG25 for the promo code. Some great local. Look, my biggest problem. I'm loving WWE. Always have. Always will. My biggest problem right now is they are jacking the prices sky high. Sky high. Mason and I had talked about going to WrestleMania in New Orleans. We were going to save money for next year. And then they said, no, we're not doing New Orleans. We're going to take it back to Vegas because we can make more money there. TKO.
$10,000 a ticket.
TKO is not John Cena. TKO is ruining wrestling. John Cena, whatever. That story's falling apart for me. But yeah,
quickly, very quickly falling apart for me. I really loved the heel turn. Thought it was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen. And it has just spiraled out in a really unfortunate way in my eyes.
But to that point, extreme affordability with new Era Wrestling. I think I went the last time, bought full price tickets just for the sake of it. I had a promo code, but I wanted to support the crew. I bought like 3, 4, 5 hot dogs. I bought a couple action figures, and I got out of there with, I don't even know. It was not expensive at all. No. It was not expensive at all. I think it was $50 all in, like my action figures, my food, my tickets. It was crazy.
Yeah, good time to spend a weekend. Or Saturday or whatever
it is. Yeah, Saturday night. Sorry, I was really text message just came in. All right, so Mason, anything else you got for us today? Anything, any other topics you want to talk about? I think I'm about done. Tomorrow, Know Your Enemy. Are we doing Mississippi State for real? Do we need to do Mississippi State, or do we need to pick one of these bad teams on Alabama's schedule? Because Bama's not actually playing Mississippi State.
This is true. And we're going to have to do Mississippi State at some point.
Do we?
Because I think we set it up to where it lined up the exact amount of weeks an SEC team, you know. So I think we do have to get to them eventually.
We'll just combine them with
maybe the very last one. We'll do a Vandy Mississippi State Kentucky. Oh, not trio.
Vandy. No, Vandy. Yeah, Vandy true. gets on.
Vandy does get thrown. So we'll do a Kentucky Mississippi State double episode. Know Your Enemies.
Kentucky Mississippi State. Is that the only other?
Those
bottom?
Might be the only two.
Arkansas. Oh yeah, Arkansas.
Well, hey, Taylor Green.
You're gonna have to show me, boy. Do you want to do ULM? the first cupcake of the year?
Is that what we're gonna do? Are we gonna pivot out of just doing the SEC and do the whole schedule?
Well, I think the math worked for the whole schedule and the SEC.
Okay.
Because I definitely want to do Florida State and Wisconsin for sure. Mm-hmm. I guess we got to give the people ULM, and let's do that. Let's combine ULM and Eastern Illinois tomorrow.
Seems good.
Let's just talk about the two cupcakes.
Home of Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Eastern Illinois. I think that's where Jimmy G went.
Okay. Good looking fella. Super Bowl champion.
Yeah,
as a backup.
Eastern Illinois.
All right. Multimillionaire.
Good on him. What is he playing still?
Why would you?
Honestly, but
why would you be playing?
What is he doing these days?
He cashed those
checks. He's on the Rams, apparently.
He cashed those checks for the 49ers.
He's a backup for the Rams, I guess.
Sean McVay says, we'll keep you around.
Can't blame him.
All right, so let's get out of here for the day. Well, man, nasty weather outside. We appreciate everybody who gave us some time today. You can find the show on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify. Got a lot of concurrent viewers right now. I appreciate you so much. Dax, You're the man. You're absolutely the man. Dax said he's preparing a fire voicemail for Friday. I bet you cannot top him. You, the listener, cannot top him. Give me your best Alabama football drive. Give me your 94 for tomorrow. Give me your thoughts on Greg Sankey being a stone cold killer. Or you want to talk some wrestling with us, you can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We appreciate Mr. 1985 Bubba Cagle joining us today. And we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.